Are you looking to up your recruitment and logistics game? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Going In Raw podcast with your host, Ryan Walker.
How you doing, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Going In Raw podcast. I am extremely excited about this podcast, actually. I've got a great guest speaker here. It's called Peter Harrop. What we're talking about today is something very close to my heart, to be quite honest. It's something that I've experienced previously. I know a lot of guys out there are having difficulty with, and that is from forces, military leavers, leaving the forces and going into Civvy Street, the transition between that. I know a lot of people struggle. There's a lot of things bouncing about the news about is the government doing enough? There's a lot of charities out there that are doing things, but people just don't know about them. But I've got Peter on here now. He's an ex-forces man himself. He's going to come on and we're going to chew the fat and discuss and give some insight into what we can do to help, the forces leavers coming to Civvy Street, and also what he has currently been doing with company Yodo he's set up. And it'll be kind of chew the fat and see how you guys can actually use that information going forward. So, Pete, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Yeah, no, not a problem. I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to sort of talk about this because it's something I'm also passionate about. So, yeah, you know, it's sort of exciting to do this, really.
Nice, I appreciate that, Pete. So, Pete, give us a little bit of brief history of yourself. You say you're an ex-forces man, aren't you? An ex-army man. So, give us a bit of brief history about yourself and obviously how what you did in the army, then obviously your transition and how you felt, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail.
Yeah, no, not a problem. So, I joined in 2009, and I did 6.5 years. I was medically discharged. So I left about 2 years ago. My transition was, I would say, a simple one, but it was. I knew what I was doing, if that made sense. So I wasn't sort of relying on anybody else. But it was a tough one because, you know, you're going into something completely different and you don't know what to expect. But I sort of knew, you know, it was happening. So I'd sort of pre-planned for it in that sense. I served with the Royal Logistic Corps. My background was communications. Thoroughly enjoyed my time. And I'm now with Yodel. My sort of remit is to help those in transition and get them into the company. So, yeah, it's
It's been okay. So, I mean, did 6.5 years in the logistics, same as me. I'm an ex-RAF boy myself. I'll leave the jokes aside. Thank you. you know, I did similar. I did about six and a half years myself. And the transition was a bit hazy for myself, to be honest. It's just because I just didn't have the information there. I mean, I left about 6-7 years ago, so I don't know if it's changed since then. I would imagine it has done, but I don't know if it has. But
oh, yeah, I think the support's become a lot better, definitely. I think that they're improving over time, you know, certainly. But yeah, like you say, when you left, it'd be interesting. Was the CTP available when you left?
It was, yeah. I had the CTP, and then what it was, all it did was get an email come through to me, and they said, attend this date, and it was literally, I think it was like a one day or a one and a half day, and all you just did there was just fill out paperwork, and that was you, and they just gave you some information, and then said, go on and do what you need to do. You know what I mean? So I was a bit lost. I mean, I was only young at the time. I'm still young now, but I think I was about 25, 26 at the time, so I was still a little bit kind of, the hell, what's going on? You know what I mean? It's just how to go about things and what do I do? I was a bit naive and everything, so I didn't have any guidance there. And all they did was just throw so much information at you and just go ahead. So it was a bit of a learning curve. And I didn't, do you know what? They had all that information there. I didn't take advantage of it. I basically
I was the same. The information, you know, I said I knew what I was doing. So I was sort of, you know, my eyes were sort of just set on one objective and that was what I was going to go into. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that, well, the problem is we don't know what's available. There is a lot available, but you just touched on it there. There's a lot of charities that people are not, you know, they're not aware of for whatever reason. So there's, you know, there's good services out there. It's just about understanding which one's right for you and which one, you know, do I have access to. So I don't think it's as transparent as it could be, the transition, for whatever reason, but you know, it is improving, definitely.
Of course, yeah. I mean, obviously, doing some research before we had this the podcast now. I mean, I got in touch with, well, actually, a lot of people got in touch with myself from charities. I never knew they existed. And I was chatting to someone during the week, and they were like, "We've been going for 5, 6 years." And I'm like, "I have no idea about that. You actually were there. I mean, how are you getting about it?" And they're struggling because they're charities, they're self-funded, and they have to rely on volunteers from different companies and obviously from donations. So it's a struggle for them. But what they're doing is actually some really good stuff. And Leavers Link is one. It's one in Colchester. That is the same. They're really good. They're actually doing some really good mentorships as well. And they're doing really, really good courses and then pushing that the right direction, the people that are struggling. So there's another one that I didn't even know existed, which is really quite strange. Obviously, what we'll do, we'll put everything that we put on here, we'll put the links underneath the descriptions and all that sort of stuff. So if anyone is actually listening, we'll put the links underneath there and the comment section, so you can have a look at each different charity we came across. But it's a strange one, to be fair. I mean, as I said, I didn't actually do much with it. I just took my resettlement money and just legged it, and then ended up in Ipswich, you know. Just went, okay, what am I doing now? And so the worst thing about it when go on.
So yeah, it was an odd one for me, because I sort of was very similar. I just took my sort of resettlement money and bombed out, you know. It's just, I remember attending sort of the resettlement brief, and you know, this bloke was just on the send for like 45 minutes about, you know, what courses we should be doing, and I was just like, you know, I haven't got a clue.
I bet he wasn't even interested when he said it. He's probably done that speech about 1,000 times that week.
Absolutely. But the idea for me was, as well, you know, this bloke, you know, credit to him, he's doing a great job, I'm sure he is, but for me, I would have felt more comfortable if it was maybe an ex-serviceman delivering that brief, someone that had been through the transition. Yeah. I just felt we just couldn't connect. You know, he sits in his office, like you just said there, probably delivers that brief 5 times a week. There's no passion there. Immediately I was switched off, you know. So, yeah, I was the same as you. I just took my resettlement money and just did one, so.
I mean, the impression I got from them, and I don't know if people listen and they might agree with this, is when you actually put your PVR through and then you're doing that year wait, they just kind of put you to one side, and as soon as you do your resettlement, they just kind of give up on you, really, to be fair. They're not interested anymore. You decide to leave, you're like, oh, he's left now, we don't care about him, just give him his make sure he always kicks back in, get his ID card off him and tell him to do one. He's on his own now. And I think that's kept in some of the mentality of how we're failing them. There's not actually anything after when you leave, because a lot of guys do struggle because they don't know, especially young lads. See, if guys have started when they were 16, they don't know what the real life is. They've done about 10 years. They don't know what it's like. You're kept in this bubble of cotton wool. You're protected while you're in the forces. You're made to think that you're some sort of like amazing person, which is great, which is understandable, because we are the best military in the world, and if anyone disagrees with me, I will fight you. So
you just said there that cotton sort of wool sort of element we're wrapped in. When I left, I went self-employed, and the biggest
That's a bit of a jump, isn't it?
Yeah, massive, because we're so used to PAYE, you know, it's a case of on the last working day of the month, you're being paid, irrespective of how many times you've turned up late or whatever, you're being paid. So for me, it was, you know, that was really odd for me to understand, well, actually, I've got to pay other people before myself, or, you know, can I afford to pay myself this month? That was the biggest element of my transition that I struggled with, the pay. You know, you just said there, we're wrapped in this cotton wool, which we are, you know, we're paid well, you know, at the end of every month, you know, you've got food, accommodation, and the big wall, you know, it'll swallow you up, you know, if you don't get to grips with it, you know, the wheels can easily come off. I think there needs to be more support there for that, you know. You know, guys need to really understand, like you just said there, if you've done 23 years and you joined as a boy, you know, you quickly become very institutionalized, and you know, it's the support's maybe like we say, it's improving, but you know, it's a big culture shock when you do leave, and how we can better that, I don't know. You know, there's probably people way above my pay scale who can come up with an idea, but
know.
That's it. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's going to have to come from head of the government side of things. That's what it's going to have to look into. And I think that's the frustrating part about it, because all they give a crap about is where they get the expenses and how they're getting their money through each month, which is a completely different subject.
Yeah, well, so that's obviously... worm away from that one. Yeah.
I know. Yes, I don't want to be hounded so far and get like a knock at the door from the government saying you've been slating us online again.
Yeah,
again.
Again.
That's yeah, of course. Wait until at least I've got a good following before I start slating people down. But I mean, that's the thing about winning the transition as well, is because when you're saying about Commonwealth, it's the force. It's not a bad thing, but they big you up into some sort of like your this, that, and the other. I mean, I've been talking to a few of my old RAF mates who are still in, and they're like kind of corporal sergeant, like, fair enough, not sergeant, but corporal level. And they're like, oh, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go into like a 40 grand a year job, managerial, going to get the high life, going to get a good house, all that. And it's just like, I'm biting my tongue. I'm going, I don't want to spoil the dream for you, but you're going to have to be a bit more realistic. But that's never going to happen. You're going to have to really start from scratch again, you know? Yeah. And I think that is something the resettlement guys and CTP or whoever it is needs to tell them that. They need to say, guys, you're not going to be at the top as you are now. You might be in the top or in the middle part of your career in the forces, but you're going to have to start again from scratch and you might have to take a pay drop. It's just the simple
Absolutely.
Story of that.
If you do 20 years, you need to sort of quickly recognise you've done 20 years in the forces. Your second career is probably going to be longer than your first career. You know, if you retire, if you come out of the forces at 40, you know, you've still got another 25 years to go, you know. So there's an element there's an element of your second career is longer than your first. And somebody always said to me when I was serving, you know, it's not disloyal to plan for your departure. You know, if you're 10 years in and you have every intention of doing 25, it's not disloyal to start planning your resettlement. The earlier you plan it, the better for me. You know, if you can start looking at courses. We see it now sort of going off topic within the football industry, where players who are planning for retirement tend to start making, you know, appearances, you know, on TV, etc. They start their transition early. You know, whether that's something we could incorporate within the forces, I don't know. Within your last 3 years, you can start steadily moving in, making the process longer. I don't know, but it's such an interesting subject and varied and can have so many opinions. But for me, like you say there, people... they need to manage expectations slightly. You're not going to come out and earn what you were probably earning. You know, we're paid, you know, they're paid fairly well, you know, in my opinion. So,
yeah, especially from people on City Street, definitely. I think we're actually paid not too bad. And they definitely, there is need to be a bit of like realism to kind of really be in there and definitely plan ahead. I think using that year, when you put your PVR in, is it similar to the obviously the Army and the RAF, you put your PVR in and it's literally, you've got a year until your end date. So it's like you've got a whole year there, to be fair, to prepare. Use that year productively and effectively, I would think. Go and do some research and go out there and be proactive. Don't expect to get things handed to you now. This is, you're on your own. You have to really kind of take the bull by the horns and go for it. Get in front of people, speak to companies and get some information on everyone, even service leavers. Go and speak to these charities to get a good idea before you do it, because as you say, was it the 5 P's that is, you know, you get drilled
that's
into
it,
when you're in the 40s.
That's
Make
it.
Make sure you do your preparation, you know.
That's it. And networking, you just touched on that there. Yeah, I can't stress that enough. You know, since sort of I've come into this role with Yodel, just, you know, network. It's, you know, it's the biggest thing. For me personally, I don't believe you sort of find, you know, I don't believe you get a job based on what you look for. I believe a job finds you. And if you can sort of network and get in the company by knowing someone or whatever, it's far easier than filling out these long-winded applications, submitting your CV that no one understands because you've stuck on there, you was an SO2 ops. But, you know, what does that mean to a civilian recruiter? Do you know what I mean? So if you can... You know, if you can in some way network, it's massive. Get to these CTP events, you know, attend, you know, the open days that the companies are doing. You know, it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Exactly. That's it. And I think is highlighting that to everyone else, to be fair. So, I mean, I think a lot more things can be done from obviously the CTP standpoint. I mean, from obviously your experiences, Pierre, when you left, you said you went self-employed. What happened there? What did you go?
Really odd one. When I left, I got a retail franchise. I'm not sure if you're aware of who they are. It's a convenience store called NISA. However you want to say it, it works. So I decided to basically, my brother-in-law had a lot of dealings with the company NISA, and the availability of a shop came up which this bloke was running, but it wasn't making enough money. So he decided to sell this. So I just thought, you know what? I'll have a go at this. Even though during my resettlement, I was focused on becoming a mortgage advisor for all my sins, I thought, you know, I'll take my resettlement money, I'll do a financial course, and I'll just sell mortgages. You know, it's simple as that. And then anyway, this opportunity popped up, and I bought the shop with my brother-in-law, and you know, we did incredibly well. You know, it started churning a good profit. You know, it was phenomenal, but it towards sort of like the end of the year, I just decided actually I want to move on to something else, and I sold my shares in the shop and then came on board with Yodel. But it all just came about, like I say, for opportunity. There was just a bloke who decided, you know, it's time to sell up, and I just thought, you know what, if I'll have a crack at this, why not? So yeah, I went self-employed, like I say, and it was ridiculously it was so alien to me, the fact that, you know, what do you mean I'm not being paid at the end of the month? You know,
that's the massive security's gone, isn't it? It's the security's not even there. Even with a PAYE job, you don't even have that. You've got security there, but when you go self-employed, Christ, it's like being unemployed. You don't know when you're going to get paid again, do you? It's crazy.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, you know, it doesn't matter what happens when you're serving. You know, you're being paid, and that's what I struggled with the most was, you know, we touched it there, salary and stuff like that. I just, because we come accustomed to that sort of lifestyle, if that makes sense. You know, you earn good money, you know, you spend what you earn, you're fine, you've got accommodation, you've got food, everything's just sort of, you're sort of mollycoddled in a way. And you know, when you sit down at the end of the month and say, oh, you know, I haven't got enough to pay myself this month, you know, like you said there, the security's gone. But I'm glad I did it, because it was an experience, you know, and I got very fortunate. And now I'm with Yodel, and they are PAYE, so I'm living the dream. But you know, it's
happy
it's
to one of them.
So yeah,
well, I tell you what, your experience there was quite, that's quite ballsy, to be quite honest with you, Pete. If I left the forces, I would go anywhere near a self-employed job. I would basically brick myself. So fair play to you for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, no, like I say, you know, I'm better from the experience, definitely. I think I wouldn't put anybody off being self-employed. I spoke to a guy at the CTP event yesterday, and he's coming out of, he comes out the end of the year. And he asked me, he said, would you recommend going self-employed? And I think in some ways it's really cut out for military personnel, because we've just got that can-do attitude. You know, it's just a case of just get on with it, you know.
True, yeah.
And so in some senses, maybe there is more, you know, there could be more opportunities for self-employed veterans. I don't know whether that's going down the franchise route or using the skills they've learned during their career. I don't know. But we just tend to sort of get it a little bit more. You know, it's a case of, you know, if you work hard and I'll be okay. And we've got that sort of work ethic. But you know, you quickly have to realise on a Wednesday afternoon you can't just cut away and go, you know, go and do some sport. You've got to actually work. So yeah, it's all alien.
There's no Friday afternoon finishing at 12 o'clock to go and get straight to the pub sort of thing. You know what I mean? It's working till 6 every night.
That's it. And the, you know, you quickly realise as well, what do you mean I'm only getting 28 days leave? You know, it's like, you know, you don't get August off for a start. You know, it's nuts.
Yeah, what? I have to pay for rent. What's rent? You know what I mean? Does that not come out of my salary straight away?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's nuts.
Oh, your
But yeah,
rent. So, sort of going through your experience, would you do anything different?
good question. I would utilize the we discussed there at the start what's on offer. I would utilize what's available more. And I would probably I'd network a lot more than I did. I sort of just came back to Manchester. I was relocating and sort of just stuck my head in a laptop and studied this one course. I didn't attend any of the networking events or anything like that. I just sort of I was quite ignorant in a sense, because I knew what I was doing. But yeah, definitely. I'd change quite a few things. Like I say, I'd network more, I'd use more of what was available. And I'd have probably spent my resettlement money than on something else other than a mortgage advice course. But yeah, that's a different story. Yeah, I think it's, but yeah, so I'd probably change a few things. Yeah, definitely. How about you?
So when
I mean, you said there you had the CTP available. Did you just sort of do your course and then that was it? What did you do?
I did the same, yeah. I literally grabbed this. What was the craziest thing about it? I left in 2009, which was literally the height of the recession.
Yeah,
So literally,
man.
no one was hiring. No one was hiring. I was in a. I basically left, got my resettlement money, and the resettlement money that I got put my deposit down for a flat. Over in Ipswich, and that used that, and from there I struggled. I really did struggle. I struggled to get any work, and all I was doing was temping. I was like temporary contracts, and from a logistics background, I was like, well, I want to stay in because I want to use the experience that I've had when I was in the military out in Civvy Street stuff, you know. And using that, it was a hard work. Because I thought again. I was going to go into a really good paying job. I've got about 7 years experience in this job. I'll stay me good. God, that was a wake up call. It was like a kick in the face. And I couldn't get a job anywhere. I think looking about 2 months into it, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And eventually, just by luck, I got a temporary warehousing job up in, I don't know if you know it, Suffolk. It's got a Sizewell power station. Up in Leiston, they had it up there, Sizewell B, and they were doing the outage that you do every few years. And it was a 6 month contract there. And going from great money to basically crap money was a big bit of a shock, really, to be fair, because you're on crap money, you're not on, you've not got the security behind you, and then all of a sudden you have to pay for your rent, you have to pay for your food, and then all of a sudden, crap, I have to pay for fuel to get to work because it was a 40 minute drive from Ipswich up there. And I tell you, that was a hell of a culture shock, and I really did struggle for a long time. And I would probably say about a year it took me until I got actually sorted, because I was going from temp job to temp job because there was just nothing there, and it was really hard. It wasn't really until I mean I actually had to I worked abroad for a while. I worked over in Afghanistan as well for about 18 to 2 years until I got myself sorted. Because I racked up so much debt and all that sort of stuff. I was like, crap, what am I going to do? And
Yeah,
then
Jesus.
great pay out there. And I was only working for I was just warehousing work out there. I was working for the Americans. It was just a normal job, as you can imagine, you know, it's just in a warehouse telling people what to do and where to go. And yeah, and it wasn't until I really got myself over there until I had a bit of stability, a bit of money injection behind me that actually came into recruitment when I came back. And the rest is history. I've got my own business now. So there is struggles there, and there is a hell of a learning curve when you come out, but it will work out in the end. Don't think that just because it's not working out now and it's being crap, you have to stay with it. Look for the longer term. You know, it's don't look at the micro, look for the macro. I always say is look forward and keep at it and keep at it, because it will work out in the end. And as I say, if you're struggling, there's plenty of people out there to actually help you out, and
And
charities,
that's it.
myself, I'm
It's
sure
about
yourself
understanding
as well.
it's there, isn't it? Like you said, you just touched on that there when you are struggling. excuse me, there is a lot available. And I've noticed that since since coming on board with Yodel, it's even I'm learning every day. When charities are coming to us, etc. I didn't know you guys existed, and it's incredible the support we do have. But like you say, it's about understanding that they are there. So yeah, it's incredible, it really is.
So obviously this thing, you're obviously working for Yodel at the minute, Pete. Give me a heads up of what you guys are doing, because you're doing something quite special there. So I'm really impressed. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. This is my personal, I think Yodel are really setting the tone for what companies can do for service leavers. When I sort of, as you know, I sold my shares and I moved on, I sat down with Yodel and they just basically said, in a nutshell, we want to improve, you know, our sort of our offer to the forces in the service community. And so at Yodel, what we've done is we've sort of almost created this military project within the company, which basically is just about us becoming more, you know, more appealing to those who are leaving, helping those that, you know, have been out for a while, but they, for whatever reason, the wheels have just fell off, they just can't get going. So, I mean, we've got, you know, numerous sort of things we do. One of them is the military to Microsoft course. And that's just basically, if there's a course going on within Yodel for its staff, and I'll use one for example, if there's a Microsoft Excel course next month being held for 20 of its staff, we'll set aside five right. places for veterans to come along and do this course with right. us. So, you know, and that gets them the tick in the box for Microsoft Excel. We've got HR policy, which sort of helps our reservists. So they get an extra 10 days paid leave on their leave card to go and complete the mandatory training. We do civilian work attachments. So if you are leaving and you think, do you know what, I just want to go and taste what it's like, you know, it's almost like a working job interview. Because one thing we don't do well is interviews. We saw, you know, the last time I was interviewed was when I joined the army, so, you know, I wouldn't have a clue.
That's true, yeah.
So the civilian work attachment is, like I say, it's almost like a working job interview, and that just sort of, you know, you can come in and taste the business. You might at the end of your time go, do you know what, that's not for me, or you might say, no, I really enjoyed that, I'd like to stay. You know, we do workshops where you'll come in and we'll help you with your CV. Even if you're not going to come and work for us, you know, we'll still help. We do sort of do all sorts. In a nutshell, it's like a military project that we've got going internally, and we're really pushing on now to support sort of the service community. You know, it's really exciting to be a part of as well, and it's very top heavy, which is good. You know, this isn't just me with a little bit of passion. This is, you know, this is really top heavy. You know, it doesn't matter who I go to within the business, the support is there. It really is incredible. If I can go wherever I want within Yodel, and the support's there, it really is, you know, special.
It sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, you're right. I think Yodel are actually doing something that no one else is actually doing. And this is about time someone actually did this. And I'm very impressed that they're actually doing something like this. I see not a lot of companies are doing this, and the amount of content and the amount of actually value you're actually giving to people just off from nothing sort of thing and help is absolutely fantastic. It's what I think other companies should do. You know, I strongly believe that companies out there are missing a trick with these guys. You've got really good guys out there who are hardworking. They've got the military kind of mentality ingrained in them. So they know how to take orders, but they know how to work. They know how to learn, yeah. And they know how to go forward. And a lot of people are just, companies are missing out just because simple things like they don't understand their CV because it's in military jargon, or they're scared of, obviously you hear all this stuff on the news about certain like things, horror stories with military people about obviously the PTSD thing and all that.
And that's a lot of companies are just wary of them. Yeah, you just touched on PTSD there, and I sat in an event on Wednesday, which was hosted by the Officers Association, and the question was sort of asked, are companies put off by this stigma of personnel with PTSD? And what I love about Yodel is we've just teamed up with a charity called Walking With The Wounded, and that's another charity you guys should go and check out. The work they do is absolutely phenomenal. It really is. And we've teamed up with those guys, and we're looking to bring, you know, if you've had PTSD or you've been injured for whatever reason, you know, that shouldn't mean you can't have a foot in the door. We'll work round you. You know, if you need to take an hour out of your afternoon away, you know, we'll accommodate that. You know, if we can, just because you've sort of been injured by your service life doesn't mean you should suffer in your civilian sort of career. So
of course,
we've sort of took a stance with Walking with the Wounded, which says, you know, no, just because you've got PTSD and you need extra support, you know, we'll support you through that. And Walking with the Wounded have got an excellent sort of mental health program, which is on offer to all our service veterans. So, you know, it's fantastic. So if the wheels come off for whatever reason, we can go to Walking with the Wounded and say, look, can we get some support for one of our guys? It's incredible. It really is. And they're a great charity.
Wow, that's brilliant. Is that Walking with the Wounded? Is that .co.uk or .org?
I believe it's .org. But yeah, if you stick that in Google, they'll be first hit. Fantastic charity. They really are doing some great work. Really good.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's, as I say, that's something else that's obviously add value to yourself. So it looks as if your role are actually jumping above everyone at the minute, which is seems really, really good. So, I mean, what sort of, like, for yourselves, for your role, what sort of guys are you looking for? Are you just, or would it just be anyone? Is there a certain criteria you need to get to do this?
I think we're quite unique in our recruitment process at Yodel. One of our recruitment advisors, actually, she sat on a panel, which I just talked about on Wednesday, and one of the blokes said, you know, what courses can I do which would make me more employable? And I thought, that's a really good question, that. She responded was, it was quite unique in a sense, because there was Yodel on the panel, we had, you know, and other companies, which I won't name, and they all talked about, you know, what they would look for. But when she responded from Yodel's perspective, it was, we'll have a look at your CV, but we're more interested in, you know, your experience, not what qualifications you've got. And I think that bodes well with the military, because, you know, you may not have, I'll use project management as an example, you may not have Prince 2 or whatever you need to go into project management, but, you know, if you was looking after 40 blokes or whatever, a role, you know, in my opinion, you've got more experience than a graduate who's just done, you know, his time at university. So from Yodel's perspective, we're not really interested in what qualifications or whatever you've got, it's more about experience. But, you know, we've got a number of roles, you know, obviously right through to the obvious, which is driving, but, you know, we've got support functions, project management, all that sort of good stuff. So when you say what are we looking for, I would say everybody. You know, there's no sort of, you know, specific person that we're looking for. Obviously, you know, dependent on role, it really is, but we're open to everybody. And like I say, this is very top heavy at Yodel. The forces are a big part we do, and the more we can support them, the better. So yeah, no specific whatsoever, I would say.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, because obviously with Yodel, it's not just driving you do. I know driving is obviously the main part of it, but there is obviously background staff there as well, obviously in the office, and obviously management and all that sort of thing. So there is a wide range. Don't think just because you're a national courier company, it's just driving that you do. You know, there's a massive wide range of different things you can do as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think certainly when I come in the business, a big part of what I wanted to change was that I believed we were too driver focused towards the military. And I think naturally companies will be, you know, we all get a license when we join, don't we? You know, but, you know, I got mine in 2010.
For free as well.
That's it.
For free, I got mine. 2 week course. I got it. I tell you what, I failed the first time. I had to do it again the next day. I had 2 week course, right? I had to do that. I had it at Lack Hill, I think it was, in Salisbury Plains, next to around there. And I actually failed the first time. I had 14 minors.
14?
You had to have 14 minors. That was how I passed, actually, to tell a lie.
Also, you just hit the mark.
The first time I'm such a bad driver, but it's horrendous. The first time I did a major, because when I was rolling to park up, I dropped the clutch and rolled it forward, and then he put me, I didn't have control of the car, and I all went tits up from there. But the second time, the next day, I had 14 minors. I had one more minor, I would have failed, and I was right on the cuff. So that's just how crap of a driver
I remember doing op Escalin. Do you remember when the fuel tankers sort of were sort of threatening to strike and whatnot? And I remember the instructor, he would never let me drive on a Friday. And he said, you drive like a maniac on a Friday, because obviously I wanted to get back home to Manchester. So I'd be driving around Hull, breaking the speed limits, trying to get back. So yeah, he'd never let me drive on a Friday. But yeah, if you stuck me in an R10 now, I'd be the wrong way up the M25. So we were driver focused, but obviously, you know, we like you just said there, there's HR and all that sort of good stuff. And that's another thing. I think service leavers, you know, research the company. You know, just because you believe it's a driving, you know, company doesn't mean there's only driving roles. So yeah, definitely.
Brilliant, brilliant. So right, so Pete, finally, let's do a little bit of a heads up. Your main tip for service leavers leaving. What would you say to them right now? What is your main bit of advice? Off your head, what would you say to them?
Off the top of my head, it would be go and get yourself on LinkedIn immediately and start growing a little. Start a network. LinkedIn's a fantastic tool. Something I didn't immediately, you know, sort of make use of. It was only certainly coming into this role that I became more self-aware of it. Get yourself on LinkedIn. Start growing your network, and you know, and just go from there. What you can achieve on LinkedIn is incredible. You've got far more connections than me, Ryan. You know, I'm sort of new to it, but you know, LinkedIn's a great tool to use. It really is.
That's it. I completely agree with you. I've been using LinkedIn for a number of years, and I've got a lot of tips and tricks. And funnily enough, the next episode of this podcast is about LinkedIn and how to get the best out of it. So there's a shameless plug for you. So yeah, there you go. But I definitely think LinkedIn is one of the biggest networking things out there. Getting advantage of that is getting to grips with it is invaluable. It's such a tool people don't use properly. But when you do use it properly and you see how to do it properly, it's a minefield. It's gold mine, sorry, of information and knowledge and connections. So definitely, that's a great advice there, Pete, to be honest.
Like I say, I wasn't a big user of LinkedIn immediately, but yeah, you know, seeing the power it's got now is ridiculous. I mean, a lot of companies can approach you via LinkedIn, and you know, it really is a great tool. So yeah, definitely LinkedIn for me. That'd be my sort of number one thing to do, and also get on there whilst you're serving and translate what you're doing into civilian speak. You know, so if you're Yeah, definitely. It's a really big tool for me, LinkedIn.
I would say exactly the same. And I would say as well, my point of advice is get advice from everyone. Get networking. Get that CV sorted. If you don't know how to do it, go out and find it. You know, no one's going to do it for you. You have to go out and search for it now. You know, it's the training wheels are off. The blanket's been taken away from you. It's time to get your finger out and actually do something about it. You know, and that's what I would say to them. There's a lot of places out there, but they won't come to you. Unfortunately, you have to go to them, and that's the main point. Don't just hide into a corner or hide under the covers, expect it to go away, because it won't. You will have to do something about it.
You just said there, ask the question. You know, it's certainly with us, if you, we're completely happy for you to send us a CV and say, look, can you just have a look at that and maybe give me some advice? You know, don't be scared to ask the question. You know, where can it improve? You know, that, you know, recruiters are there to get you in, not to sort of, you know, laugh you out and say no. You know, so just ask. Just say, look, is there anywhere, you know, any areas on this CV you believe I could improve? Or, you know, ask the question, I did this, what does that translate to in the civilian world? It, you know, because what you've got to remember is it's the person on the other end is, you know, has no clue what some of your roles entail or mean. So yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Well, people, we'll wrap this up, because obviously we've chatted away for a good long time, and I don't want you to kind of take away from your job. You're probably busy at the minute. So Pete, thank you so much for your time on here. I think you've shared some great insight, some great knowledge, and I really do appreciate it. Obviously what we'll do, we'll put obviously the details of obviously Yodo and what they do and the description underneath, and obviously all the charities. Email as well for yourself. You want to put your email on there?
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah, definitely. And like I say, if you, for anybody that's listening who thinks, you know what, yeah, I want to have my CV looked at, feel free to ping them across to me. You know, I don't pretend to be a CV expert, but I certainly work with people who are, and you know, I
Right.
certainly help. You know, most certainly. So yeah, pop my email there. But it's been an absolute pleasure. It really has. And you know, thanks for
No
having me
problems.
on.
No problems at all, Pete. That's fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time, and I will catch you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Going In Raw podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And for more great content and to stay up to date, visit walker-recruitment.co.uk, on Facebook at Walker Recruitment, and Twitter at Walker_REC. We'll catch you next time.